नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। हरे कृष्ण। सो हाउ वाज योर परिक्रमा टुडे, सर्कमएम्बुलेशन ऑफ द होली धाम। परिक्रमा मीन्स गोइंग अराउंड एंड सो यू स्टार्टेड फ्रॉम द बर्थ प्लेस ऑफ चैतन्य महाप्रभु एंड देन वेयर डिड यू गो टू? शिवा संगम, देन अद्वैत भवन, गदाधर अंगन, गंगानायक, यू ऑल्सो वेंट विथ हिम। हू वाज एक्सप्लेनिंग अबाउट दोज प्लेसेस? देन यू वेंट टू चैतन्य मठ एंड सो हाउ मेनी स्टेप्स यू टुक व्हाइल ट्रैवलिंग एंड विथ ईच स्टेप you acquired the Pai Chi that is more than 1,000 horse sacrifices. So this is the benefit of coming to the holy town. Hare Krishna. So, take full advantage of this. Maybe they can close the, lock the door, because unless people come on time, Hari Bol, somebody go and lock the door. One cannot just walk into the class anytime they want. It shouldn't be done. When you go to a movie, do you go in the middle of the movie? When do you go to the movie? You go 15 minutes before the movie starts. Why? Because if you miss the first scene, then you may miss the whole thing. Similarly, in a class, if you miss the first part of the class, then you won't understand what's the rest of the class for. Take your spiritual life seriously. And so today's topic is, does everybody know what today's topic is? Oh, written on the board. Topic is, devotion to Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. How do we set our goal? What is the meaning of goal? Okay, I said. Oh. So from tomorrow, don't be late for the class. You all are students, or is it your practice? Is it your habit to go to the class after it starts, and sometimes bunk the class also? So, spiritual life begins. Yesterday we discussed spiritual life begins with the spiritual inquiry. Brahmajikasa, the sincere inquiry about our spiritual identity. Now, when we make sure about the spiritual life, that spiritual path is, then what should be the goal? The goal should be the highest point, isn't it? When you play football, where is the goalpost? At the end of the field, right? This side takes that to be the goal, and that side takes this to be the goal. To reach that highest point is the goal. So when we consider the goal of life, what should be the goal of life? There can be many secondary goals, but when we talk about the goal of life, the ultimate goal of life. Ultimate means the very end, very absolute. So when you do something, why do you do something? To gain something. Generally, when you say when you're going to college, you are going to university, or you are running your business, why are you doing that? You are doing that to achieve something. Sometimes, of course, you do things aimlessly, but that is not important. Aimlessly, we should not do something. There must be an aim to achieve the goal. Now, we have to consider that human form of life is a very special opportunity. Now, I'm sure all of you believe in reincarnation. Don't you believe in, how many of you believe in reincarnation? Practically all of you believe in reincarnation. That means reincarnation means the souls return to this world. So that means you were here before and you came to this life. And in future what will happen? Will you stay in this body forever? Although everybody thinks that he is not going to die, but death is inevitable. Someday we all are going to die. What will happen after death? We leave this body. Then what will happen? The soul will get another. We cannot decide ourselves what kind of body we will get. Everybody would want to become born as a prince, isn't it? If given a choice, everybody will want a fantastic opportunity. But can we select the opportunity ourselves? No. Although everybody wants to become a king, but so many people are born as a pauper. And not only that, so many people will get other kinds of body. An animal body, there's a possibility. We may get an animal body. We may get a reptile body. Can you imagine the body of a snake? Can you imagine a body of an insect? Can you imagine a body of a worm? And what to speak of a body of a tree or a plant? But these are all possibilities. While instructing Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned there is 8,400,000 species of life. That means there are 8,400,000 possibilities of bodies. Out of that, only 400 is human body. Now, out of all these types of bodies, trees, plants, reptiles, aquatics, and so forth, animals, is any of those bodies desirable now that you got a human form? If somebody comes and tells you, okay, Prabhu, would you like to become born as an elephant? Would you like to be born as a tiger? Maybe somebody wants to like to be born as a tiger. But you haven't considered the hardship that a tiger has to go through. Living in the forest. No house to live in. Winter, summer, no shelter. And just to get the food, you have to struggle so hard. So these are all different possibilities. But now that you got the human form, we have the intelligence to decide whether we want any other type of body. Now let us consider why human form is so special. Okay, if I ask, if anybody wants to have a subhuman species, will anybody want it here? No. Because the term itself will decide, subhuman, meaning it is less than a human. Less than a human means lower species, degradation, demotion. So who wants to become demoted from his present situation? Everybody wants to be advanced. Nobody wants to regress, right? If somebody comes and tells you that from third year now you have to become degraded to second year, will you want it? Does anybody want to fail? Instead of progress, does anybody want to regress? No. So that's why we should be very careful. Now that you've got a human form of life, we should not become demoted to any other species. We should progress. Now how will that progress be guaranteed? The progress will be guaranteed by our action. It is our action that will promote or demote. Just consider, while in your college, if you prepare yourselves nicely in the exams or throughout the year, what will happen? At the end of the year, you'll be promoted to the next grade. But if you don't prepare properly, then what will happen? Then you are running the risk of remaining in the same or getting thrown out of the college. Is it there that if you fail twice, then you will be thrown out? No? You can carry on as many years as you want. Then what happens? If you fail, then what happens? Okay, IIT? How many of you are IIT students? 8? Okay, out of 4. So every year you can fail twice. Okay, very good. But in a human form, we don't have that facility. You fail once in this life, if you don't prepare yourselves properly, then what will happen? You'll become demoted. Now, how many of you remember yesterday's class? I was pointing out the human life is meant for Athato Brahma Jikyasa. Human life is meant for spiritual development. That is the purpose of human life. We have two options. You know what are those two options? Lead your life centered around your body. Or try to become situated in your spiritual identity. These are the only two options we have in this life. You can lead a life centered around your body, which means sense gratification. Centered around body means giving pleasure to the body. Give pleasure to the body. And how do we give pleasure to the body? There are four possibilities of giving pleasure to the body. Eating, sleeping, agree? Eating is fun. Similarly, sleeping, mating, sex life, and defending. That is, defend the body's benefits, body's facilities. Now, these are the propensities, these are the activities that is the indication of the life centered around the body. And the other possibility is to aspire for spiritual development, aspire for self-realization. Self-realization. Who is the self? Is the body the self? Who is the self? The soul is the self. Our real identity is the soul. And realization, spiritual realization, soul's realization of the soul, recognition of the soul, identification of the soul, and aspire for the ultimate achievement of the soul. These are the two possibilities. Now, out of these two possibilities, what should an intelligent person aspire for? What should an intelligent person aspire for out of these two possibilities? Any response? Out of these two, what should one aspire for? I gave two possibilities, two options. What are the two options? Okay, aspire for self-realization. The life centered around the benefit of the body, advantage of the body, gratification of the body is called the animal propensity. Because the animals also do that. Don't the animals sleep? Animals can eat a lot. I remember there was a competition of eating sausages between a man and a bear. The bear beat the man to a halt before the man could even finish 1/10 of it. The bear has finished the plate. And it was a huge pile. And this man was supposed to be a voracious eater, big man. But compared to a bear, so a bear can eat so much more than a man when it comes to eating. Sleeping, again a bear. You know, a bear can sleep for 6 months a year. Throughout the 6 months of winter, bear sleeps. Mating, in sex life, the animals are much more efficient than human beings. And defending, yes, man may be defending himself with nuclear weapons and all kinds of weapons. But an animal can defend himself so expertly in so many ways. If you go to the forest, do you stand a chance in front of an elk, in front of a lion, in front of a tiger, in front of an elephant? So we can see that the animals can fulfill these animal propensities in a much better way than a human being can. So this fulfilling animal propensities cannot be the goal of life. But in today's world, when you see everybody else, how they are leading their lives, people are making a lot of money. But most of the people, they are making money for what? How do they spend their money? They spend their money in eating. They go to expensive places. There are some places, I have been told, in America, that sometimes in some hotels, in some banquet, one can pay as much as $600-$700 per plate. Per person. $600-$700 means about 30,000, 40,000 rupees per plate. So, this is how people are spending their money. They want to make money to spend it. Then sleeping, again, they're making big houses, big palatial buildings. But why do they build these houses? To go and sleep. Again, in the West, it is a very common phenomenon. You see, all these big palatial buildings, each building is costing 30, 40 million dollars. But empty. Only the servants are living there. The owner is out 6 o'clock in the morning to work, to make money, to attend his business. And sometimes they come back at 8, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. So they come and what? They just sleep. Or people stay in big hotels, spending so much money just to sleep. So many arrangements are made just for sleeping. And sometimes when they can't sleep, then what happens? They take intoxicants. They can't sleep. Okay, take some heroin. Take some opium. And alcohol, of course. Nimbu Pani. I said alcohol is like Nimbu Pani. So, and then making all these arrangements, entire human society is actually revolving around this propensity, sex life. So many stories are there, so many histories are there. You know the history of Homer's Iliad? What is it based on? One beautiful girl, one beautiful queen, called Helen. He was somebody's wife. He was the wife of the king of Greece, Agamemnon. And the prince of a country called Troy, he came to Paris, fell in love with this woman. Therefore, he fell in love with each other. And she ran away with him. And the big battle took place. In that battle, so many people died. One whole country was destroyed. Why? Just because one person wanted to have sex life with another woman. There are so many such anecdotes in the history. Like in order to get a beautiful woman, they got into war. Even Mahabharata also, in a way, you can say, the episode is centered around Draupadi. And mating, defending. And everyone is trying to defend himself from imminent death. But that is what? For what? Defend what? For the body. Defend the body from dying. You know what is the biggest industry today? Most lucrative money spinning industry. The most lucrative money spinning industry today is the medical industry. And next to that is the food industry. No, next to that actually is the intoxication industry. Then comes food. People spend more money in intoxicants than in food. And okay, let's go to the main point, medical industry. Why medical industry is so lucrative? So profitable. Because nobody wants to die. And everybody, because they want to die, they are taking medicine. They are prepared to spend any amount of money to be alive. But Bhagavatam is saying that the human form of life should not be wasted for these animal propensities. Ahara nidra bhayamaithunancha. Ahara means eating. Nidra means sleeping. Bhaya means defending from fear. And maithun, sex life. They are Poshubhi Shamana. They are animal propensities. They are there in the animal society. Animals are leading their lives for these four activities. Now, should a man lead his life just for this, fulfilling these animal propensities? Yes or no? How many of you are no? Very good. So then what should be the goal of life? Our Srimad Bhagavatam is describing Labdha Shudur Labhamidam Bohusham Mavante Manushyam. This Manushyam means human form of life. Labdha, now that you have received this human form of life, Sudurlabham. Sudurlabham means, durlab means rare. And sudurlabham means extremely rare. Bohushambhavante, after many, many possibilities. After many, many possibilities. There is a possibility of 8 million possibilities. Out of that 8 million possibilities, transcending those 8 million possibilities, now we got this human form of life. So what should we do with this human form of life? Should we utilize, should we lead the human form of life to go back to those 8 million lower species of life? Or should we try to achieve something higher? How many of you are for trying to achieve something higher? Very good. So, now the question is, what is that higher goal? So, human form of life, therefore, is a wonderful possibility, wonderful opportunity. Why this wonderful opportunity? Because human beings have developed intelligence, developed consciousness. You know what is the specialty of human consciousness? Consciousness has been divided into different categories. The lowest category of consciousness is the consciousness of trees and plants. Their consciousness is covered. They're conscious, but their consciousness is covered. Are the trees conscious? Yes, they're conscious. But when you look at a tree, does it look conscious? Can you ask a tree, hey, what's your name? The tree will never answer. So the tree is not answering, you beat him. Doesn't answer. You take a knife and start cutting it. Doesn't respond. Why? Because its consciousness is practically covered. Then beyond that state of covered consciousness is shrunken state of consciousness. Shrunken. Shrunken means shrink. Means becoming compressed. Smaller. The consciousness is there, but that consciousness is in a shrunken state. From insects and worms to the animals, they fall in that category. In a shrunken state of consciousness. The Sanskrit word for that is shankuchita chetan. Shankuchita. What's the Hindi word for shrunk? Shrink, shrunk. Shankuchit. Hindi bhi shanku. Jaise hum bolte hai, sankoch. Sankoch mein se, matlab? Sharmate. Apne aap ko apna lete. Shankuchit chita. Then comes the human beings, beyond the animal category. Now human consciousness is very special. Human consciousness has been therefore compared to a bud. Have you seen a bud of a flower? How does the bud look like? The petals are shrunken. Shankuchita, the petals, but it has the ability to bloom. That is the advantage of human form. You can expand your consciousness. But in order to expand your consciousness, you need two factors. Or for a bud to bloom, what does the bud need to bloom? You keep a bud in a dark room, will the bud bloom? No. Generally, say consider a lotus bud. If you keep the bud in a dark room, the lotus will not bloom. But when the lotus is exposed to the sun, then the lotus begins to bloom. Provided the lotus is in water. If the lotus is not in water, it will not bloom. So for the bud to bloom into a flower, it needs two factors. Water, shelter of the water, and exposure to the sun. So for human beings, therefore, these two things are for human consciousness to develop, there's a need for the exposure to the sun and shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, you become exposed to Krishna. Then the consciousness begins to bloom. So that's the fourth stage of consciousness, when you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and thus become exposed to Krishna, then what happens? What is happening to you all? Are you becoming spiritually more aware? How many of you are thinking that you are getting more information about spiritual identity? Is your consciousness developing? Right? Very good. Why is it happening? Because you have been now exposed to Krishna under the guidance of the Vaishnavas. They are the spiritual masters. The Vaishnavas are giving you the information. Right? The devotees of Krishna are giving you the information. And as a result of that, your consciousness is developing. And when you continue in this way, pursuing this path, what will happen? Ultimately, your consciousness will be fully exposed to Krishna. You'll become fully Krishna conscious. You'll become a pure spirit soul, a pure devotee of the Lord. Do you believe in that? So that is the final stage of consciousness. Fully bloomed consciousness. So you got those five stages of consciousness. What is the first stage? How many of you remember? Raise your hands. Okay. Covered consciousness. There was the second stage of consciousness. How many of you remember? Why so many other hands are not going up? Okay.
Narrow.
Okay, narrow, theek hai. Shankhya. Take note. Shankhya. S-H-R-U-N-K-E-N. Shankhya. State of consciousness. Then what's the third stage of consciousness?
Bud.
Bud state of consciousness. And which living entities fall in that category? Human beings. Human beings fall in that. In Sanskrit it's called mukulito chetan. Mukul. Mukul means kali. In Hindi mein mukul shabda aata hai kya? Aata hai. Hindi mein bhi mukul aata hai. Hindi aur Sanskrit to ek hi hai. Sanskrit se hi aaya. Mukulito chetan. Then what is the fourth stage of consciousness? Blooming state of consciousness. What is the Sanskrit expression for that? Bikoshito chetan. And what is the fifth stage of consciousness? Fully bloomed state of consciousness. Now who has this opportunity? Does an animal have this opportunity?
No.
Who has this opportunity? That is why the human form of life is so special. Otherwise, what is the definition of a human being? How many of you remember? Although I didn't mention in the class, but then there is an understanding, there is a common saying. Man is a civilized animal. Otherwise, a man is a civilized animal. Animal kills its prey and eats it. Man goes to a five-star hotel, goes to a very exclusive restaurant and eats his food. Action is the same. Eating. Goal of life becomes the same. Eating. Sleeping. An animal sleeps in a cave in the forest and a man lives in a palace in a metropolis. Mating. and defending. So obviously, these animal activities should never become the goal of a human being. Rather, the purpose of human life should be to achieve the ultimate goal of spiritual emancipation, spiritual awareness, recognizing his own spiritual identity and recognizing his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the meaning of the word self-realization. The science, Prabhupada wrote, the science of self-realization. That is the goal of human life, to pursue the science of self-realization. Not computer science or medical science or electrical engineering or chemical engineering, mechanical engineering. Okay, you are doing it, that's fine, but should that be the ultimate goal? These are the temporary goals, because to earn money you have to have an occupation. If you prepare yourselves nicely through your studies, then you get a decent, dignified life. But that should not be the ultimate goal. What should be the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal should be to recognize your spiritual identity. Like, there are, you can see, there are secondary goals and, like say, for example, when you are studying in the university. Like, there the goal is to finish your studies, complete your studies and get the degree. Right? But at the same time, when you are in the university, you are doing other things also. Right? Sometimes you are representing the university cricket team or football team. So for that also you are practicing, for that also you are exerting yourself, you are putting your efforts. But that, you didn't go to university to play for the university cricket team. The goal, actual goal is to study the subject and get the degree. Similarly, in our life also, this studying in the colleges and universities to get an occupation is also a secondary goal. But what is the ultimate goal, final goal of the human life? How many of you can answer this question? What should be the final goal of the human life? Okay, yes, you tell me. Yes, self-realization should be the ultimate goal of life. To recognize our spiritual identity. That should be the goal of life. Now, spiritual realization also has different levels. The first stage of spiritual realization is the recognition or realization of Brahman. That is the spiritual light, spiritual energy, spiritual reality. Just understand that beyond this material nature, there is a spiritual world. So, general understanding of the spiritual world is, that world is the world of light. This world is, how is this world? Material world is full of light or full of darkness? The material world is world of darkness. Because the sun comes up and moon comes up, there is some light. But otherwise, this world is in darkness. But beyond this world of darkness, there is another world of light. That is the initial understanding of spiritual world. The world of light. And that aspect is known as Brahman realization. But then when you enter into the spiritual world, you enter into the world of light, then you find that there are spiritual planets. And in that spiritual planet, there are spiritual personalities. There is a spiritual, supreme spiritual personality. But before you make that approach, then there is another approach. Like, we make an external effort to understand the spiritual reality, then we come to the Brahman reality. But Brahman realization is not the absolute or ultimate realization of the spiritual world. That is the external way of understanding the spiritual reality. But then you go internally. Through knowledge, you go externally and come to Brahman realization. But Brahman realization is like coming to a dead end. You can't go anymore, any further beyond. Then what is the natural tendency? The natural tendency is to go within. And that process is known as yoga, Ashtanga yoga, Dhyana yoga. And through that process, one sees the super soul in the heart. Is the Lord present in everyone's heart? Is the Lord present in your heart?
Yes.
How many of you think yes? Please raise your hand. Wonderful. So the Lord is there in your heart. So when you go within, then you see the Lord in the heart. How do you see Him? How do you see Him in the heart? As the Paramatma. So then, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti. And then when you see the Paramatma, how do you feel? What is your attitude? What is your reaction to Him? You see the Paramatma. What are you? Who are you? You're a Jivatma. That little Jivatma sees the Paramatma. How should he feel? How should he feel? Huh? Yeah, he should be. He should feel small and he should surrender. He surrenders. So this surrender leads to bhakti. So and through bhakti, the Lord becomes manifest in His Bhagavan form. Bhagavan means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shantati. Right? Okay. Now, through Jnana, you see Brahma. Is the Brahman the ultimate spiritual goal? No. Through Yoga, you see Paramatma. Can the Yoga be the ultimate goal? Then, after Paramatma realization, you surrender yourself to the Lord and start to render devotional service, and then only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, becomes manifest to you. So what should be the ultimate goal? Devotional service, bhakti. Jnana is not the ultimate goal. Yoga is not the ultimate goal. So ultimate goal of life is, therefore, devotion to Krishna, therefore, is the ultimate goal of life. Did you find the ultimate goal of your life? Does anybody have any doubt about that? How many of you agree with me? Thank you. Hare Krishna. So now that you found the ultimate goal of your life, what are you going to do? Become a devotee of the Lord. Now can you become a devotee of the Lord being a student? Can you? Is there any difficulty? Sure? Okay. So even as a student, you can become a devotee. After you finish your studies and then take up a job, then will you continue your devotional service or will you give it up? While working, can you be a devotee? Can you continue with your devotion? Yes? How many of you think that you will be able to do that? Please raise your hand. Very good. Many of you will get married. After getting married, can you practice your devotional service? It seems that everyone is silent. So I think you're silent because you don't want to get married. Or you think that after getting married, you will not be able to practice devotional service. Anyway, so how many of you think that even if you get married, still you can practice devotional service? How many of you think that you can? Okay, I'll repeat again. How many of you think that even if you get married, not that you have to get married, just in case you get married, you'll be able to practice devotional service? Okay, thank you. And so the point is, the ultimate goal of life should be devotion to Krishna. Why? Because when you become a devotee of Krishna, then you can finish your business in this material nature and go back to the spiritual sky. Is this material nature a very nice place? How many of you think that this material world is a wonderful place? No one. Okay. I can see that all of you have become very wise. And so that's very good. So if you feel that this is not a place to be in, this is not a place where you want to be, then what should you do? You should try to get out of here. And what is the most wonderful way, easiest and most simple and most easily accessible way to get out of this material nature? Devotion to the Supreme Personality. Thank you all very much. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Okay. Endlessly. Question is, how many times does the soul come to this material nature? Endlessly. We cannot count how many times we have been here. How many times means how many different bodies, that's it. Oh, how many times? Oh, from the spiritual, just once. Just once. Because once you go back, would you like to come back? Now that you have seen what it is like. So once bitten, twice shy. Once the living entity, actually we are here now. We have come, we have fallen from there. We've fallen from the spiritual world. So now that we are here, and we realize that this is a terrible place to be in, do you want to come back again? Once you go back and see how wonderful the spiritual world is? So your answer to your question is just once. There's one, now that you go back, we're not going to come back. Would you like to come back? Okay. Thank you. Yes.
My question is, Guru Maharaj, how can we become more much convinced about that. The best gift we can give to our parents is devotion to Krishna, because we want to make our parents happy. So being a student, we think by getting good placement.
Okay, very good point. Very good point. The best way to convince your parents, or best way to make them, give them this most wonderful gift, by showing yourself how happy you have become by practicing Krishna consciousness. When they will see you, then they will be convinced. Sometimes if you go and tell them, they may not take you seriously. Right? So you practice it with all sincerity. You show the world how your life has changed. Then that will be the best way to make them understand. That's the best way to convince them. Okay? Because otherwise you can go and speak to them. Do you think they... I don't know about your parents. Maybe they will. But in most cases, they won't take you seriously. They'll probably say, oh, pagal ho gaye. College mein jaake kya sikhaye? What did you learn going to the college? Did I send you to the college to learn Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? वो तो घर में बैठ कर भी कर सकता है, कॉलेज जाने का क्या जरूरत था? Anyway, don't worry about your parents now. You practice it sincerely yourself. Okay? Where does your parent live? In Jabalpur. You are also studying in Jabalpur? You are in? Okay, Papa. Okay. Any other question? Okay.
Hare Krishna, we know that devotion to Krishna is ultimate goal, but as we know, there are secondary goals also. So while achieving secondary goals, we tend to forget that devotion to Krishna is ultimate goal. So how not to forget that?
Yeah. Best way to remember this goal is to remain in the association of devotees who are pursuing the same goal. To be with the devotees. Because otherwise, say for example, as I told you, in the university or in the college, you have a secondary goal. So do you play for the college team? No. Okay, somebody who is playing for the college team. He practices, right, to... if he is representing the college cricket team. But if he plays all the time, then will he pass his exams? So while practicing cricket, he also have to remember that I have to study and pass my exams. So when he comes back to the dorm, then he sees other students are studying, then he says, okay, I have to study also. But if he's always playing with the, if he's always with those who are only practicing cricket, right, then he will not, he may forget that actual goal is to pass the, study the subject. So similarly, in order to remember our spiritual goal, we have to be in the association of devotees who have the same goal. And they will remind us, their association will compel us to be fixed in spiritual life. Okay? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. My question is, to achieve ultimate goal of life, we have to surrender to Guru. Diksha Guru and Siksha Guru, we can, in our ISKCON system, we can make our Diksha Guru in, with our one choice, but we can have many Siksha Guru. So my question is that, how we can judge a qualification of Siksha Guru, like to whom we can surrender or to whom we not can surrender?
That is, you see, like, you will find yourself. Like, you listen to the advanced devotees, right? And then you see who is inspiring you in your spiritual life. Those who are inspiring you in your spiritual life through their instructions, they are your shiksha gurus. Right? Shiksha gurus can be many. But the way to recognize the shiksha guru is who is inspiring you the most through his instructions in your spiritual life. And go.
This should be like, is this like systems with the help of the shiksha guru, he can appoint some shiksha guru like?
Not necessary. In a society like ISKCON, there are so many advanced devotees. There is no need to take the approval of the Diksha Guru. Whoever is inspiring you.
So like we have to check each and every devotee to get...
Yeah. Like whoever is encouraging you, inspiring you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Any other question? Yes. Quite a few. Okay, we'll take this one. Where is, take that mic. There's no need to switch it off. Don't switch it off. Let it be on.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I have read in a Srila Prabhupada's books, out of 84 lakh species, as I remembered, 4 lakh species of human form. Then what type of human form is it?
What type of?
Human form is it? 4 lakh type of human forms.
You are one of them. There are 4, which means there are 400,000, 4 lakh different types of human forms. So many different types. And all the human beings fall in this category. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a distinction, like out of these 400,000 species, some are uncivilized, some are half civilized, and some are civilized. So those who do not have any spiritual inclination, they are uncivilized. They may live in big cities, in big palaces, driving big cars, dressing up very fancily, nicely. But that is not the criteria for civilization. The actual consideration for civilization is whether he is spiritually inclined. If he is not, he is uncivilized. Those who have some spiritual inclination, they are half civilized. But those who are absorbed or involved in cultivating their relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are civilized. So at least I can say that you are one of the civilized human beings. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, if somebody has a desire to become a first-class servant of Krishna, then how should he mold his life? And what should, how should he mold his life? And what should be his lifestyle, his attitude and mood? Can you explain?
Okay. The thing is, first consideration is that he should be in a situation where he can very easily practice spiritual life. That is the first consideration. The second consideration is that he should be in the association of devotees. The third consideration is that he should be able to actively involve in rendering devotional service to the Lord. So these are the three considerations. So out of these three, you know, like you can see what is the best possibility to live in a temple. If we can't live in a temple, then at least we can be near the temple where we can go and render devotional service, you know, and have association of devotees. If that is not possible, then we can create a situation where we can practice devotional service without difficulty. Right? Like, well, we are creating the base where those who are serious, they can actually practice their spiritual life in the association of devotees. So the main consideration here is as rendering devotional service in association of devotees. And that should be, that is the desirable situation for spiritual advancement. So here's, you have a question?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, as you have said that science of, there are three levels of science of self-realization, first Brahman realization to Paramatman and Bhagavan realization. But as we know that in Kali Yuga, it is very hard to perform yoga, then first yoga, and but in Kali Yuga, a newfound devotee came and started rendering service to Lord Krishna and directly he is just realizing Bhagavan realization. That making same effect that in Satya Yoga, man performing higher austerity is doing yoga, he is doing yoga, and after many, many years, he realized Paramatma in his heart.
Very good point. Yeah. So out of different practices, the easiest one is rendering devotional service. Right? But this is the highest. And this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave us this system of direct devotional service for this age. Otherwise, in other ages, one had to achieve his perfection in yoga. Like first to Jnana, he'll come to the platform of yoga. And from yoga, he'll come to the platform of after achieving perfection in their respective processes. So now you can see what a benefit we have, you know, what an amazing good fortune we have. Direct promotion. Generally, what do? You go to school, then college, to university, and then you get the degree. But here the degree is awarded straight away. No more going to school, no more going to college. Direct admission to the university in the PhD course or degree course. That is the good fortune that we have received. Karanika, yes, give it. Oh, that Mataji. Give her first. She asked me.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my obeisances. I want to ask, please explain us how the place affects the spiritual, how the place affects the spiritual development.
Yeah, how the place affects the spiritual development. Yeah, the place affects the spiritual development through the devotees. The most important consideration is actually the association of devotees. We go to holy places because we can get the association of devotees there. If you go to a holy place but don't associate with the devotees, there won't be any benefit. Right? Like you can see, people are coming to Mayapur, so many people, but they don't associate with the devotees. They are coming here as a sightseer, tourist. So they're getting some benefit, but not the actual benefit. Okay. So point is, place is important, but the effectivity of the place becomes manifest through the association of devotees. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, so give it to her.
Yeah, I'm translating for her. She has a question, how to get love for Krishna. Is it
how
enough?
To?
How to develop our love for Krishna? Is it enough to chant the holy name?
How to develop?
Love for Krishna.
Love for Krishna. Okay. Okay. How to develop love for Krishna?
How to develop our devotion, our bhakti.
Okay, I get it. Our devotion is love for Krishna. How does a person fall in love with somebody? How does one fall in love with somebody? Because of some quality of that person? When you see that somebody is very handsome, you fall in love with him. When you see that somebody is very famous, you fall in love with him. When you see that somebody is very rich, you fall in love with him. Or if somebody is very powerful, you fall in love with him. So it is the quality of that person that makes us fall in love with them. So in order to fall in love with Krishna, we have to become aware of his qualities. Now Krishna has all the attractive qualities. Krishna is all attractive. So how do you get to know about the qualities of Krishna? By hearing about Krishna from the devotees of Krishna. Or reading about Krishna, which is also same as hearing about Krishna. So Krishna is most beautiful when you get to see how beautiful Krishna is. Won't you fall in love with him? When you get to know Krishna is the richest, won't you fall in love with him? Krishna is the most famous. Krishna is the most powerful. Krishna is the most wise. So now let me see how you cannot fall in love with Krishna.
Is it enough just follow the instructions of Maharaj or Guru because we don't see Krishna ourselves?
That is there, but the real attraction comes from becoming aware of Krishna's qualities. Take the mic. Who is next? Okay. This, give it to him here. So, I'll take last question and then there are some questions or more coming from the internet. Yeah.
How can we convert our studies to devotional service?
How can you divert your?
Convert studies to devotional service.
Okay, you consider that you are studying to please Krishna. Right? This is one way of pleasing Krishna. Because you are doing it, do it well. Arjuna is fighting for Krishna. Therefore it's devotional service. So similarly, when you are studying, make your study a way of pleasing Krishna. Okay. So there are some questions from the internet, Mayapur TV. So this is from Bamsidhari Das, Ujjain. Although you mentioned that path of material enjoyment is inferior, but it seems it seems so attractive for the conditioned soul. Because of the past conditioning, what are the steps to cross over this problem? Example, chanting more rounds regularly without fail. What if Well, I fail to do that, do so. Yeah, don't fail. Make it a point to chant regularly nice rounds. So if you realize that to be fixed up in spiritual life and to avoid the allurements of Maya, this is the way, then be fixed up on that. Chant your rounds nicely, associate with the devotees nicely, read Prabhupada's books attentively, the rest will automatically happen. Next question is Abhiram Das, also from Ujjain. At the time of death, does super soul assume the form of Krishna or does he personally come? I am asking because once Srila Prabhupada told you that in the devotee's heart Krishna is personally present here. Well, there is no way of knowing. It's not only that at the time of death Krishna will come. The question is, the point is whether you have developed your pure devotion to Krishna. If you have developed pure devotion to Krishna, then even before death Krishna will come to you. Krishna is there with you, but it's with your pure devotion only that you can see him. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva. The word sadaiva means all the time. Ridayeshu vilokayanti. Sees him in the core of his heart. The pure devotee always sees Krishna in the core of his heart. So Krishna Abhishek Das, Ujjain, Guru Maharaj, if one is very serious about Krishna consciousness but is still unable to give up past bad habits, then is it because of past offenses or it simply means he is not serious about it? The past sinful reaction may have its effect, but Krishna consciousness is so purifying that it can purify one of all his past habits. But sometimes, because he is practicing, some past bad habits may at some point become prominent. But one should try to avoid that, try to overcome that. And the best way to do that is by remaining in the association of devotees. You remain in the association of devotees, then you'll be safe. If you are not in the association of devotees, you are running the risk of becoming victims of your past habits. Then another question, that's the last question. Guru Maharaj, it said that for one who is performing bhakti, jnana and yoga processes are already achieved. Please elaborate on this point. Shashwadhar Das, Ujjain. Yeah, I just mentioned in answer to one of the questions that there are different stages. Jnana, then yoga, and then finally bhakti. Generally, one goes step by step. First step is jnana, a philosophical approach. Then yoga, ashtanga yoga process. Then after achieving perfection of ashtanga yoga, one comes to the platform of bhakti. That is the gradual progress. So therefore, when one is in bhakti, then it has to be understood that he has already transcended the platform of jnana and yoga. If you are in the university, then isn't it naturally concluded that you have already passed, finished your high school and college? Now that you are in the university, you have already passed through that. So now if somebody is in the university, did he already pass through school and college? Yes or no? So that's what bhakti is like. Okay, thank you all very much. I'll end now. I have some other appointments at 6 o'clock, so I have to rush. Thank you very much. And what will you then attending the Arati? Huh? And do we have a class at 6 or 7 o'clock? No. Yeah, no, 7 I'm giving a class there in my room. 7 or 7.30? 7. So, no, I'm asking, are the boys coming there also? Or? Okay. Not, is the days too hectic? Too many activities? Sure? Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri. You want to make some announcement? Go ahead.
Tomorrow we are having another class at 4:30 p.m. And the topic is Yugadharma, the means of spiritual perfection. So I request everyone to be here on time, sharp at 4:30 p.m.
Can you have that in my room? That class? Can you set up the webcam? Then that can be broadcasted from there. Okay. It's all right, we'll have it here.